Jesus will go with you. He will lead you to the throne. He who dyed his garments for you, and the winepress wrought alone. Farther on, still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It is better farther on.
At my grave, oh, still be singing, though you weep for one that's gone. Sing it as we once did sing it.
Picking some things out. Hopefully you can hear me okay. Oh man, they got this turned all the way down. There we go. Turn that one down. Turn this one up, and there we go. Now we have it. Now we're coming in clear. Better move this a little closer to me here. All right, let's see.
From over hill and plain, there comes a single strain. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Its music rolls along, the hills take up the song of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, on to victory, cries our great commander. Command. We'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come join our loyal throng, we'll rout the giant wrong. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, on to victory, cries our great commander, great commander. On. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. The strength of youth we lay at Jesus' feet today. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. His gospel we'll proclaim throughout the world's domain of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. On to victory, on to victory, cries our great commander, great commander. On. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Loyalty.
the darkness, sail, or day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows, fair haven's land. Clear was the voyage, sailor, now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat, sailor, pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Trust in the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, think yourself no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds of darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore, pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Away. Ooh. God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more. Bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
Oh, bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
Before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
Check here. Here we go.
Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord ever since he saved my soul. I'll shout it from the mountaintops, Christ Jesus made me whole. Ho-la-dee, ho-la-do, ho-la-dee, lo-dee-dee, ho-la-dee-dee, lo-dee-dee, ho-la-dee.
Wait a minute, I can't help it, I gotta stop. Can you believe that somebody has nothing to do with their life so much that they actually made an Ayatollah Cooley YouTube page? We're like, where do these people come from? Like outer space or what? I mean, it's like, what in the world would possess a guy besides devils to actually do that. It doesn't like make me mad. It's just, it's so stupid. It's like, I hope you look at your life and say, really, this is the sum total of my life. I chase around YouTube looking for people that I disagree with, and I make up fake accounts to comment. I mean, think about that just for like 1 second and like try to reflect on your life a little bit and wonder, wow, am I wasting the very breath that I have? God gives me a certain amount of time, and if I really squandered it in doing that, wow, that's what I would be thinking about. Anyway, it's just, it's unbelievable. But, you know, it's that sodomite spirit, though. One of those people sent me something filthy in the mail, and I don't know how they got my address, but anyway, they had sent something filthy in the mail, and you know, I obviously got rid of it, but God knows who they are, and God's going to deal with them. And, you know, it's sad because their fate is so, right now, they're on their way to hell, and they're going to die in their sins. And sometimes they're just too much of a stupid fool to be afraid of that. You know, and that's unfortunate. It really is. But somebody needs to tell them the truth. You know, somebody has to tell them. And if it's in front of me, then I'm going to tell them that they're going to die in their sins. And though they don't care about that right now, when you go to sleep tonight and you're sitting there in the darkest of night and you're reflecting a little bit on your life and you're trying to drink your sorrows away and you're trying to drug yourself up and you're trying to distract yourself from the truth of life, there is a Savior out there that died on the cross for your sins. And he was buried and he rose again from the dead. And though you are vile in his sight, though you are absolutely filthy and vile in God's sight, he still sent his son to die for your sins. He still sent his son to save your soul, that you would not have to perish in everlasting fire for all of eternity. So I'm going to do what most people would not do for you. I'm going to share with you how you can be saved, because that's the most important thing that you need to hear right now. Not what you think of me. I don't really care what you think of me. I do care what you think about Christ. That's what I care about. What do you think about Jesus? What will you do with this man, Jesus? That's what you ought to be thinking about. That's seriously the thing that you ought to be thinking about. Not about me, because whatever you do to me, I mean, it's only temporal. You can't touch my soul. So whatever you do to me, whatever things happen, all that does is mess with my flesh. It can't do anything to my soul. My soul's in the hands of the Lord. But you, friend, you're in a lot more trouble. So I'd consider your own soul. I really would. I'd consider it. I'd take great heed to what you do and what you squander, because your life is but a vapor, and it's going to vanish someday. And the only feeling I have for you right now is pity. Sure, I hate the sin, and I'm angry that those perverts sent me something in the mail like that. I was angry about that. Of course I was. Jesus was angry at sin too. But I pity them. They're on their way to hell. And they know who they are. They know who they are. But God will deal with them. God will deal with them in this life and in the life to come. So all we can do is warn them to flee from the wrath to come, right? That's all we can do. Well, let's get back to the music here, then we'll get started. Let's see here. But always a good time to bring out a gospel witness, isn't it?
Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord ere since he saved my soul. All shouted from the mountaintops, Christ Jesus made me whole. Holla-dee, holla-do, holla-dee-da-la-dee-dee. Holla-dee-dee-da-la-dee-dee-da-la-dee-dee. Holla-dee, holla-do, holla-dee-da-la-dee-dee. Holla-dee-dee-da-la-dee-dee.
World we roam, rejoicing, singing praises always, till he takes us home. That when we die, the heavenly gate he will. So each day here we'll walk with him in liberty and hope.
Songs, huh? Good music. It's so important to have good music, isn't it? I like listening to good music. I think it's important for your spirit, you know. Let's see. We'll play another couple good ones here, then we'll get started. Let's see.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear him say. And when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye. My everlasting King above will all my needs supply. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. To the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. For Jesus has lifted my load.
Amen. All right. I trust your load has been lifted. And the Lord is strengthening you day by day. And with each passing moment, amen. So, you know, we had some trolls come on here, and that doesn't really bother me too much right now at all. I just look at it, and I'm just like, yep, that's usually what happens when you serve God. All the devils come out, and they come out of the woodwork everywhere. You lift up your voice, you do something for God, and here they come. They're coming, and that's the way it works. That's the way it always is. So we have to remember that we have an adversary, we have an enemy, and anytime you preach the word of God, anytime you warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come, anytime you lift up your voice like a trumpet and you live for God, here come the devils. They have to come, and they can't help it. They got to come and they got to try to defile people. And that's the way they work. So it happens. Unfortunately. That's the way it goes. But we have a work to do for God. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to get right into it here. Before I say hi, I took a little bit longer with the, well, I gave my mini sermon, the gospel, to that troll. And, had to do that. Those people need the Lord. So somebody's got to give it to them, right? And we'll do. So we'll oblige, right? But anyway, so then we had a lot of music there, but that's okay. We could use music sometimes. It's good to listen to some music. We're going to talk about the Tombs of the Giants. Say, let me say hi to everybody. Andrea from Iowa. Infamous Andrea from Iowa. How's your baby doing? How's the family? How's your husband? Hope they're doing well. Rachel Marshall, my sister-in-law. Elijah Morgan. If it truly is your name, Elijah, trucking through somewhere, trucking through Texas. What a good place to truck through. Let me tell you something. I like Texas and all, and I like Tennessee and all, but I got to be real with you. You people need to get some different barbecue sauce. You need to take yourselves down a little trip or up a little trip or whichever way you got to go and get yourself to Kansas City and get yourself some real barbecue sauce. Because you people, your barbecue sauce is like a bunch of tomatoes in a jar of vinegar. All right? I'm sorry. That's what it is. And I love barbecue. And I've ate it in Tennessee. I've ate it in North Carolina. I've probably ate it in South Carolina. I ate it in Virginia. And I'm telling you, Kansas City barbecue is still the best that I've ever had. Hands down, the best. And the best sauce I ever had was that Texas Joe, that Kansas City Joe's barbecue. I'm not for your vinegar, your heavy vinegar. I'm sorry. You all got too much vinegar, man. All right, anyway, I like mine thicker a little bit, too. But I like it. I'll eat it. I'm not bashing it. I'm just telling you, you really need to take a trip to Kansas City. You just do. Or Iowa, to the Iowa Machine Shed. Boy, did they have some good food. Anyway, but I'm just helping you out there, okay? Just a little bit of love for you here. And helping you out that you gotta get some different barbecue sauce. You know, you just got to. Anyway, but that's free. What's up with the vinegar anyway? What's up with the like copious amounts of vinegar? It's like you just took a bunch of tomatoes, crushed them up, and just poured a jar of vinegar in there. What is up with that? If I want apple cider vinegar, I'll just drink it straight. Anyway, all right, I'm done. So anyway, we'll see. But if you ever get this way, you know, yeah. Anyway, well, Oklahoma Billy Slim's or Steve's Ribs. I'll definitely go to Oklahoma for barbecue. They're a lot like Kansas City. The vinegar thing is, ugh. Yeah, but it's like all vinegar. It's like everything's vinegar. Anyway, all right. We're talking about Giants, not vinegar. Unless you're talking about a giant bottle of vinegar. Then that would be Texas barbecue sauce. A giant bottle of vinegar. Anyway, okay, I'm done. All right, you see this mound right here? What in the world is that? I'm going to show you what that is in a second here. In my travels with my family, there I was in South Charleston, Virginia. And lo and behold, I drive through this town, and to the right of me, I see this big, huge mound. And I look at that and I'm on vacation, right? And in the midst of this travel, I'm trying to close on two houses. trying to get some stuff straight, driving around there, and I dead stop in that town, and I went past this first, and I said, if I don't stop here right now, I'm going to regret it. I got to see what that is over there and what they're saying about that. I have to. And I did. I pulled that big old fat long elephant van. Let me tell you something. I love my family and I am extremely glad that I am back home with my truck. Let me just tell you. Because driving that bus for 2 weeks is like driving a stinking semi. All right? No thanks. Give me my truck. I'm plenty happy with it. Wow, that thing is huge. Anyway. But, so. So anyway, so here we are in South Charleston. And here's what we find. We walk up to this, and we see this, the whole town is around this big mound. And I'm like, what's this about? So I walk up and I see this. In 1883, the Smithsonian Institution. Okay, stop there. No, Carl, I drove 50 hours for 2 weeks. That's what I did. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, the Smithsonian Institution. Now, when we stop there, I want you to understand something. Always remember, giants disappear. Their bones disappear, their tombs disappear. Everything disappears when the Smithsonian Institution gets called. You remember, now I hate to give you a reference of a wicked movie, but or of a movie or whatever, but do you remember that some of you that, you know, maybe before you were saved or when you used to watch Hollywood, the Men in Black, they had this little thing, they would come up in their black suits and they had this little thing and pew, they'd flash that at your eyes and then you forgot everything, your memory was gone. Well, that's kind of like what the Smithsonian is. That's what they are. Because as soon as they get involved, all the evidence for giants are gone. And you never hear about it again. They're gone. So we're traveling through this town here. In 1883, the Smithsonian Institution excavated the South Charleston or Creel Mound. 13 skeletons were discovered. Now stop there for a minute. 13. Do you find it interesting that they had in that mound? Let me show you that mound here. Look what other archaeological discovery I made while I was out there. Krispy Kreme. Look at that. I discovered while I was out there, I found this archaeological discovery. Down south, they still have Krispy Kremes. Joe, what do you know, man? I had to stop there, and hot ones, too, that were right out of the cooker, man, right off the conveyor belt. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Those things right there literally melt in your mouth when they are hot, and they come right off of there. And they got 20 different kinds of donuts, but those are still the best right there. So I made that discovery out there. Right? That was such a good discovery, man. So anyway, I had to show you that great discovery that took place. I mean, you can't blame me, right? Okay, now Carl is... Now, okay, Peter. Little sidetrack here. Now, who's all going to be mad at me? Because I'm sidetracking. But hey, this is my broadcast. And if I want to have fun and do things, I can have fun and do things. And if you don't like it, all you have to do is click somewhere else. Right? But I'm not in any hurry to go anywhere. I got time to broadcast. Today, anyway. Okay. Now, let me show you something here. Let me show you something else. A great discovery that took place. Now, this is a great discovery also. Okay. Now, here we go. So, here's another grand discovery that took place. Duck Donuts. Duck Donuts. Rachel Marshall, don't you knock them until you tried them. Because those Krispy Kremes, they're my favorite of the raised donuts, definitely. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me tell you about Duck Donuts. This place was unbelievable. Okay, so here's what you do with this place. Another discovery. Here's another discovery in my archaeological discoveries of ancient, down south of ancient things. Here's what they do with these donuts. They make all these donuts fresh. And they come through on this belt. And then Duck Donuts makes whatever flavor you want. So if you want a maple bacon one, they make you that one fresh. They make you the chocolate fudge one. They make you an Oreo one. They make you a cinnamon twist one. Strawberry, raspberry, Heath, whatever kind you want. They'll make you anything individually you want. That's what they did. And they're all cake donuts, and they're hot. So while everybody was sleeping, Grandpa and myself went to Duck Donuts at 6:30 in the morning. Or 7, something like that. It was early. And we sat there and ate hot donuts, cake donuts, right off. Right off the conveyor belt, man. Carl, man, were they good. They were so good, you'd want to slap a monkey in the face. I'm telling you, they were that good. And when they're hot and fresh like that, it's really, you're in trouble. You're definitely in trouble. So, that's Duck Donuts. Which do I like better? Both of them. Here's why. Because one is raised donut. Can't be compared. Let me give you an example. It's like pizza. When you ask me, do you like New York style pizza better than Chicago style pizza? No, you can't do that. Because Chicago style pizza is its own style. Now, if you ask me which Chicago-style pizza I like, then I can explain it to you. Then I could say, okay, well, I like this one. If you ask me which Sicilian or New York-style pizza I like, then I could explain that to you. You don't... One does not judge those things. It's like apples and oranges, that's right. It's just not the same. So which one do you like better? I just say yes. Yes. Right? Excellent. Gotta try Duck Donuts. If you're ever somewhere where they have a Duck Donuts, you gotta try it. Unless you're a diabetic and you're gonna go into shock, don't do it. But anyway, if you aren't, then try it. Try them, I say. Right. By the way, isn't this a cool picture? I haven't even got to the Giants yet. Oh my goodness. You guys are going to kill me. You're all going to just ditch me. Everybody's going to run off. Isn't this a cool picture right here? I took that picture. I thought it was awesome. Beautiful, isn't it? God's creation, nothing like it, is there? Okay. Now, back to the Indian Mound. Okay? Back to the Giants. Because we're going to talk about giant tombs. We're going to talk about mounds, megaliths, and monoliths. We're going to talk about all that here. And yes, I could give you a tour of all the food I had. I did say that I would talk about my trip, didn't I, Holly? That's right. I'm glad you pay attention, Holly. I don't pay attention much, but you do. Excellent. All right, here we go. And there is no vacation with Pastor Cooley without finding good spots for food. I make it a priority to try different food because I'm very strict when I'm at home and I've lost 50 some pounds. I'm strict and I eat right and everything else like that. But when I'm on vacation, I like to try different things because I know it's temporary. I'm going to go back home and I'm going back to my regular routine. Right? So anyway, That's what I do. So, well, if you're fasting, then you shouldn't be listening. That's your problem. Oh, do you want to see something that I made? Are you guys going to get... I'm just wondering if anybody's going to be left. Actually, more people are on, so it's okay. I got to show you. Can I show you my creation of what I made? This is what I made for my family twice. And it was good. Let me find it here. I made it twice, two different ways. And everybody liked it. Okay. So let me show you this here. All right, now check this out, and then I'll get to Giants. I promise I will. Okay, so I had an idea. I said this when I was home. I said, you know what? I'm gonna make some oatmeal and some ice cream. I gotta try it. I gotta try it. I gotta make oatmeal and ice cream. So I took fresh peaches that I got on the side of the road. Virginia peaches on the side of the road. How about that, huh? I found a stand with Virginia peaches out there. And it was an honor system. You just went in, you weighed your stuff, and you paid them by the pound, and there was nobody there. So I waited all out three times to make sure I didn't rip them off. And then I gave them the money, or put the money in the box and took off. Fresh Virginia peaches. Gotta tell you, really good. Now, then, so we cut those all up. I made a big, huge thing of oatmeal. You know, remember, there's 11 of us now, okay? Big, huge thing of oatmeal, right? And then I took ice cream, put it in there, put some cinnamon in there, and I'm telling you, man, was that good. Oh, that hot oatmeal when it's like steaming hot, and then you put that right out of the freezer ice cream on top of it. Oh, is it good, man. Then the second time I used strawberry ice cream and fresh strawberries, and it was even better. Anyway, so those, these are my foodies here. And there's many more, but maybe I'll save them for another time so we can get, yes, it does melt the ice cream and it makes it even better. It was exceptional. You would love it. It's a great breakfast. It was good. Good stuff. All right. Back to this. My goodness, how long are we going to drag this one out? Here we go. The Smithsonian Institution excavated the South Charleston or Creole Mound. Thirteen skeletons were discovered, most of them in a large tomb. All right, hang on. Most of them in a large log tomb at the base of the mound, along with a few grave offerings. Think about this. Okay, so what do we know about this? 13 skeletons. In a large log tomb at the base of the mound. And there's some offerings down in there. These giants serve another god. And they found them down there for a reason. They found them. They found them because giants are buried all over the place, all over the world. They're buried in mounds like these. And then sometimes you find out that those mounds have been excavated, right? And they're gone. The tombs are gone. Or sometimes you find that Indians won't let you on that land because they say it's sacred land. Right? I do, Elijah. I do have a sweet tooth. Absolutely, I do. That's why I have to control myself. But you see here, this was at the base of it. While the Edina were building great mounds here around the world, the Great Wall of China and Roman Colosseum were built. So that's what they're saying was happening around this time period. Right? We are talking giants. We are talking 10 to 25 feet tall. Yes, we are talking about real giants. We are talking about Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. These are those giants. Now, I believe there are pre-flood giants and there are post-flood giants. I believe the bigger ones that are found were pre-flood giants. I believe the ones that are smaller afterwards, post-flood giants. In this book, by the way, the book that I'm talking to you about today is a secular book. This man is not a Christian. I'm showing you this because there are people that aren't Christians. They believe that there are giants out there. They believe there's a cover-up of them. Now, there is a connection. There is a connection between aliens, giants, and UFOs. Absolutely. I have a theory. It's a theory. And I'm going to give you that theory. I believe that giants, that aliens, i.e. demons or devils, are going to come down with the UFO exposure, and they are going to confess and say that they fathered the giants, that they populated this earth with giants. I believe they are going to say that. I do. I absolutely believe that they are going to say that. They are going to try to trick the masses into believing a form of godliness, a form of the scriptures, in order to connect it all together. This man will be one of those men that will follow the Antichrist. As I review his book and I'm looking at it, I want to read you some things out of it, of some things that he had found, or that he had said, and things that he had found. Again, I'm not endorsing this man's book. A lot of these things I've read to you already through our friend Joe Taylor's book. Remember the broadcast I did on Giants last year, four or five episodes I did on that. But you know what I thought was fascinating? What I thought was absolutely fascinating, okay, and I hadn't heard before, I didn't see it anywhere other than in this man's book right here. He talks about the ancient giants of Russia. And he says this: the ancient giants of Russia aren't discussed much in the West, which has been blatantly anti-Russian for longer than most can even remember. But the Russian people and their culture are ancient, with new findings emerging through the frozen landscapes and a booming economy that's lifted most of its citizens out from underneath the communist rat hole 2 decades ago. Modern Russia has recently been eager to give up her secrets. An incredible discovery was made there in 2014, and it threatens to overturn the conventional mainstream theories concerning the history of the planet. In the frozen tundra of southern Siberia, high on Mount Shoria, researchers found a series of megalithic stones that were assembled into a massive wall. Some of these gigantic stones weigh over 3,000 tons. Boggling the mind when one thinks of how they could have been transported up the side of a rugged mountain and then stacked nearly 50 feet in the air. Some of the stones even appear to have been machine drilled and perhaps cut or sawed to reveal sharpened corners, flat, smooth surfaces, and right angles. So, see, these are some of those megaliths. Look at that. That's in Russia. Now, you know full well that they want to hide these things. They want to misrepresent the information. These megalith wonders of Russia easily blow away their closest competitors in the category of out-of-place mega stoneworks that can be found in the quarries of Cairo and at the ruins in Baalbek, Lebanon. Remember I showed you those photos of Baalbek, Lebanon? Remember that? I showed you all those in Joe Taylor's book, and I went on the websites and Wikipedia and different places and showed you the Baalbek monoliths over there, or megaliths. These also displayed a very unusual trait that had caused the compasses of local researchers to malfunction. Archaeologist John Jensen first broke the story to Western audiences. He said this, the super megaliths were found and photographed for the first time in George Sidorov on a recent, Georgi Sidorov on a recent expedition to the southern Siberian mountains. The following images are from the Valery Yuvarov Russian website. There are no measurements given, but from the scale depicted by the human figures, these megaliths are much larger, as much as 2 to 3 times larger than the largest known megaliths in the world. That example is like the pregnant woman stone of Baalbek that we showed you before in Lebanon. It weighs approximately 1,260 tons. Some of these megaliths could easily weigh upward of 3,000 to 4,000 tons. And yes, Aaron, they have effectively killed most of my channel. I used to have 100 people that would tune into one of these broadcasts or more. But they've done their best to kill that off. There's a little commentary on Valerie's site. There's little commentary on Valerie's site to the images that are displayed. Another ancient site in Russia is Archaeum, also known as Russia's Stonehenge. Called Archaeum. See if we can find that there. Let's see if we can find RKM. Let's see. A lot of Russia, they don't want you to know a lot of stuff, right? I don't know what this is exactly or what that is, but there's some excavation that they've done there. Archaeum, also known as Russia's Stonehenge, despite not having any gigantic stone standing guard over the area, the ancient site is best seen from the air, as it looks like whatever used to be there disappeared a long time ago. Like other ancient sites, Russia's Stonehenge is in a perfect alignment to be used as a solar calendar, with observations including sunsets and sunrises, equinoxes and solstices. Remember, these people worship the earth. These giants, they worship Satan. They worship the people that follow them. Right? They're witches. This is all connected to witchcraft. The elements. The sunrise, the sunset, the solstices. Adding more intrigue to this ancient and mysterious site was the discovery of an elongated skull in the vicinity. So you see, close by here, they discovered an elongated skull. Think about that. They say the elongated skull belonged to a female member of the indigenous Sarmati tribe who lived at the time in which what is now central Russia. The Sarmati tribes were Bronze Age warriors. It is claimed that they have left behind the various mounds that litter southern Russia. These mounds are called Kurgans, and they share spooky similarities with other mounds found all over the world, including the mounds that once dominated the Midwest region of the United States of America. Some Kurgan mounds, estimated to be over 2,500 years old, were recently excavated in Kazakhstan. They revealed the burial sites of several skeletons averaging more than 7 feet in height. So they're seven feet and larger. That's their findings. An 8-footer was dug up by researchers at the Aktob region in Kazakhstan, and another 8-foot warrior was unearthed from an elaborate burial mound in Kumsai in 2014. That same year, more 8-foot giants were found in southern Russia near the Kuban River in modern-day Novopavrovsky. Novopavrovsky. I don't know how to say that. This small town near the border of Ukraine is mostly known for its sugar factories. So it was a big shock when local workers in charge of installing new high-voltage power lines unearthed a giant skeleton while digging a new foundation for their poles. Soon, academic officials from the closest university showed up to inspect the findings and deemed them to be at least 4,000 years old. Interesting, isn't it? Although separated by thousands of miles and a massive ocean, both the mound-building cultures of the Ohio Valley and the Kurgan mound builders of the ancient steppes of Russia, Central Asia, and the Caucasus Mountains have exhibited skeletons and bones of giant proportions. Explorers of these mounds have unearthed the bones of men and women averaging from 6.5 to 8.5 feet tall. Right? Think about that. Think about it. Let's see. All right. All from an unknown culture anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 years or older. In the 1920s, explorers discovered a 7-foot giant skeleton in the Ladoyust range of the Ural Mountains. The 2,000-year-old skeleton of a 7-foot, 3-inch tall woman warrior from Azerbaijan is on display at the Museum of History and Ethnography in Ganja, located in Ganja, Azerbaijan. Sadly, there is no actual Ganja. He says the Rastafarians there. He's a pothead, it sounds like. But it does have the skeleton of a giant, a mighty woman warrior that might have once inspired the legends of the Amazonians. The placard on her display case reads, Kurgan, Woman Funeral, the Bronze Age. BC. The height of this woman buried in Kurgan is, 7 feet, some odd inches tall. Right? Skeleton of prehistoric giant found. October 18th, 1927. The skeleton of a giant of the Ice Age, 6 feet 11 inches tall, was found in perfect condition here when excavators were digging a foundation for a theater. The skeleton of the prehistoric man is almost complete, according to the scientists who have examined it. They consider it of the highest scientific importance, and it will be exhibited. Now here's, I can show you this right here. Look at this. That is the skeleton of the woman, 7 feet 3 inches tall. Who's Adam? A.D. Marshall. I don't even see him on there. Maybe I'm missing something. All right, let's see here. Let's keep moving. In Kazakhstan, researchers have been digging up 7 and 8 foot warrior skeletons in recent decades, usually found in ancient burial mounds and Bronze Age stone vaults. That's one of the things that I picked up from this book that I hadn't remembered before and anywhere else I've read. He gives illustrations and articles of big, huge stone vaults. And in those big, huge stone vaults were giant bodies. Soviet archaeologists discovered the tomb of a giant which contained rich furnishings of gold dating back 5,000 years. The skeleton of the man measured 7 feet 2 inches. That was in March 29th, 1976. Soviets find a giant's tomb. Okay, burial mounds in Bronze Age stone vaults. Traces of the Kurgan genes can still be seen in the appearance of Nikolai Valuv, a modern-day giant and current Russian heavyweight champion. Valuv is a 7-foot-tall, 300-pound boxer. Anyway, Siv Tagore was a warrior giant of Russian folklore. So anyway, he talks about that. How about this? Giant skeleton found by Soviets. The skeleton of a giant with a skull 33 inches around and a shin bone 33 inches long has been found in the Tian Mountains of Russia, Russian Central Asia, north of the Himalayas. The Russian official agency said yesterday in a broadcast. A 33-inch tibia bone indicates that this skeleton was indeed a real giant, measuring between 11 and 12 feet high. Think about that. Discoveries made by scientists during World War II tend to show that this old earth on which we live hides many secrets in her breast. Among all the discoveries that are said to have been made by Russian scientists, this one is the strangest and eeriest, says the Fort Williams Times Journal. The report came from Russia and settlements between 25,000 and they say 100,000 years ago. Obviously, we don't believe that. Soviet scientists are said to have dug up a fossil remains of a giant whose skull measured 33 inches in circumference and whose shin bone measures 33 inches. He must have had a leg length not less than 6 feet. One can imagine the length of his stride as he moved about in a hurry. It long has been known that fossils indicate unanswerably that at one time animals and reptiles of enormous size lived on our Earth. In such a period, men, in order to survive at all, probably were much larger than modern man. In 2004, Russian archaeologists discovered another elongated skull in Russia, this one found in the mountain regions of the Northern Caucasus. It now resides at the Pyatigorsk Museum of Regional Studies in the vacation-friendly city of Pyatigorsk. located on the Podkumok River in Provada. The Russian news agency, which sometimes reports news, first documented the elongated skull in 2005 after interviewing Vladimir Kuznetsov, doctor of the historical sciences, an expert of the history of North Caucasus. This skull, the skull is part of a culture of the ancient Alani. Approximately, it dates back to the 3rd and 5th centuries. These strange skulls appeared at the same time when the Sarmatian and Alani hordes came around. Some of the nomads moved for the northern Caucasus in the 15th century. So anyway, they found a number of different skulls and different things in Russia. But see, that's not the only place that things are found. All over the place. I want to see if I can find. Listen to this one. In 1987, this is in the Bavarian catacombs in the Rhine and Rhineland Giants. In the beer-guzzling town of Munich, workers unearthed 40 well-preserved skeletons in a sand pit. The skeletons each averaged around 7 feet in height and were accompanied with primitive stone tools. The discovery in 1934 was soon forgotten as no other updates surfaced concerning the skeletons. Then in 1987, a pair of fishing teenagers discovered the femur joint of an apparent 9-footer resting at the bottom of the Rhine River. This area of the Rhineland had been written about by the Dutch scholar Dr. Jan Albert Baker in his book Megalithic Research in the Netherlands. He described the giants of the Rhine as nearly naked, wild men, always carrying large clubs and eager to fornicate in public. Sounds like it. A Bavarian catacomb revealed thousands of giant bones arranged in a ritualistic method and buried under hundreds of normal-sized bones that had been set on fire at some point in the past. Known as the Breidenwinner Cave, news of the giant bones discovered there was first reported on by Berthold Buchner, the explorer who found them in 1535. So this isn't a guy with an agenda. This isn't some Christian trying to prove Genesis chapter 6 to be true. This is a guy that discovered this. He was inspired by legends of the secret city of giants that lay beyond the massive underground catacombs, as told by the citizens of Amberg. They assembled a team and went to explore the catacombs. They eventually gained entrance and, throwing caution to the wind, began to explore the mysteries of the darkened Breidenwinner Caves. Let's see if we can find them. Let's see. Let's see. Here we go. These are the Breidenwinner Caves. That was a psychic that went there. Barbara DeLong, spiritual empath and psychic. Aha! Interesting, huh? What's been removed from those caves, huh? One of the leaders went in first. Listen to this story. It's fascinating. One of the leaders went in first. The other leader brought up the rear. We secured the entrance with rope and marked it with signs to avert danger, because if we should lose track of the ropes, it would have been impossible for us to get out again. After fastening the ropes to a rock, we descended 950 meters deep. Four honest, strong men were selected to keep watch at the mouth of the mountain cave. Very soon, we arrived at a very narrow cleft. One of our companions, a goldsmith, who at home had desired to be the first one in the cave, was so frightened by the sight of it that he deserted us, notwithstanding his promise. But we crept on our stomachs some 95 meters, through this narrow cleft. There was a wider opening next to it, but it did not stretch very far. First of all, we came upon a wide space like a hall for dancing. When we crept in, we found so many bones that the first of us had to pile them up in one place to make room for us to enter. The bones were very large, as if from giants. We then reached a very narrow hole and had to squeeze through on our stomachs. At 380 meters, one comes into what seems like a beautiful, spacious palace, big enough to hold about 100 horses. It is lined at the top very handsomely with grown stones, speleothems. There are 8 or 10 grown pillars and good seats at the sides. Here we found two skulls, which to our surprise were enclosed by the rock. We could hardly hack them out with our tools. Each person took a piece, one of the cranium, one of the teeth. There were many passages here, and everywhere in the mountain, some of them we explored. All the caves and passages were full of big bones. Right? Big bones. In the 1970s, two explorers located the cave, but said the floods had made a mess of the place and there weren't any more giant bones lying around. And no mention of the giant dining hall carved elegantly within the wall of the mountain's interior either. Think about that. About 20 elongated skulls were discovered in the Bavarian forests of southwest Germany in the 1980s. One of the elongated skulls is on display at the local museum in Tuchersfield. Armor belonging to a warrior at least 8 feet tall can be seen in Reichsburg Castle. Ancient historian Strabo identified the German giants who lived east of the Rhine as being more wild, blonder, and taller than the giant tribes of the Celtic warriors that inhabited northern Europe. These blonde German giants were eventually eradicated just like their ancestors were. See, these monoliths and these megaliths, they tell a story. They're telling a story. Something happened. Now, the world doesn't have the answer, but Christians do, because we have a Bible. And God told us that there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that. Let me see if I can find the interior tomb of this one here. Of the giant in There we go. The inner tomb. Giant's tomb. Something was going on there, wasn't it? No, world is going on there. What is that exactly? It's the interior tomb of the giant Cagliari. These are giants of Italy. Investigative journalist Paolo Harris interviewed Luigi Muscas on his property near Cagliari, Sardinia, during the fall of 2012. Harris writes this. Listen to this. These are just average Joe Blow people out there. They're not anybody famous. Luigi told me about the tombs and the artifacts of giants, 15-foot tall beings who lived in Sardinia thousands of years ago. He told me that his father and his uncles, who also own land near his land, have dug up many bones and human artifacts. He also mentioned that traditional archaeology does not accept the discovery and that his entire family has been threatened. He has been told over and over again to keep this secret and not to talk to the general public. Why? Right? Why? Now, Satan's going to eventually pervert it. Here's the tombs of the giants right here. The tomb of a giant in Sicily. There's tombs all over, and they're buried in these rather large tombs. Why? Why doesn't anybody want to talk about that, right? There was a giant emperor. We talked about him before, Maximinus Thrax. He was a soldier who fought his way up from the bottom and made his way to the top of the Roman scrap heap. He was possibly an ancestor of the giant Gauls that Julius Caesar fought in France. Thrax, they depict him as having a massive head and the facial and skull features of a Cro-Magnon. Herodotus says that Thrax easily out-wrestled and outboxed the best Roman and Greek athletes. Says he was huge. Here's another one. The Barma Grand Cave near the Italian border with France revealed a giant skeleton some 7.5 feet in length, with one of the femur bones measuring an impressive 22 inches. In the Sicilian capital of Palermo, a giant skeleton was unearthed by a crew of hardworking quarrymen in 1516. So 500 years ago. The skeleton was said to be over 30 feet high and with a wingspan at a stunning 9 feet 7 inches at each point of the shoulders. A large bluish stone axe nearly 3 feet long and almost 10 inches thick and weighing over 60 pounds was found next to the sleeping giant. But in 1622, the mighty skeleton was burned into ash by a mob concerned over the Black Death spreading through Palermo. The remaining skull was described by medieval historian Abby Ferragus as being larger than a basket that holds a full bushel and with a jaw brimming with over 64 teeth confined in double rows. 8-foot giant skeletons have also been discovered in Sardinia, which we talked about in the tombs of the giants. Folks, these aren't accidents. I mean, these are all, let me ask you a question. Are all these people dying? Are all these people lying? Are they all lying? For thousands of years, are they all lying that they saw these giants, these megalithic tombs, these bodies that they found? Are they all just a bunch of liars? Right? It's like ask yourself that question. ancient giants of Malta and Greece. Oh, yeah, this one's a cool one. In Gozo, Malta, the megalith temple. Let me see if I can find that. In Gozo. Here we go. Check this out. This is in Malta. Yeah, I know. Knight of Malta. The Jesuits. Yeah, I know. One of the explorers on one of the crews was a Jesuit. How about that? Then right before his report was going to come out, he ended up dead. That's strange, isn't it? Look at this. These are the megalith temples in Malta. By the way, UNESCO owns all this now, these temples. Look at this. The first excavation occurred in the Giant's Place temple complex on the island of Gozo from 1816 to 1826. Now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, some of the stones in the complex are said to be among the largest freestanding stones in the world. The Hypogeum, another mind-blowing megalithic site in Malta, is comprised of massive stoneworks arranged in a subterranean chamber. The Hypogeum, a Greek word meaning underground, has been mystifying visitors since the dawn of Western civilization and may be very well the oldest prehistoric underground temple in the world. It was discovered in 1902 by construction workers who stumbled upon it after falling through a roof while demolishing a building. In what seemed to be an underground sanctuary, archaeologists began excavating, discovering three levels of underground stone structures. Check this out. Pioneering Jesuit archaeologist Manuel Magri was in charge of the excavation, but died mysteriously before the publication of the site's first excavation report in 1907. You don't say. According to the report, the ancient site was described as a massive catacomb with three intricate levels sculpted around 2,000 tons of rock. The walls of the ancient site were ornamented with geometric figures. Think about this. Geometric figures such as spirals, spheres, and pentagons, alongside images of flowers and depictions of animals. Think about it. That's what that is. The Hypogeum. See if I can find it on here for you. Here it is. How about that? Look at that. Look at the stuff on the walls. UNESCO, you know they're in there, right? You know they're all in there messing everything up, hiding everything, hoping there's demons down there so they can call them up, right? There you go. That's in Malta. You know where the Jesuits are? The Knights of Malta. There you go. Right there. Folks, the Bible's true. God said there were giants on this earth. and there's evidence. And even if there was no evidence, I'd still believe God. All right? But I'm telling you, I can use evidence. I can show you. I can show you where they came from, that they're there. I mean, where they've been, I mean. And I can show you where they came from in the scriptures. The Oracle Room, one of the more enchanted rooms of the subterranean complex, was shown to exhibit different... Listen to this. This is something. I want you to think about this. I want to see if they'll show it, the Oracle Room on here. This is interesting right here. I think that's this room right here. I don't know that for sure, though. That might be that one. Here it is. They call it the speaking chamber, the oracle room, right? Listen to this. This is, are you ready? Are you ready for something weird? All right, listen. The Oracle Room, one of the more enchanted rooms of the subterranean complex, was shown to exhibit different levels of acoustic properties that somehow reverberate. Thank you. Reverberate all throughout the hypoguam. It's like standing in a giant stone bell. Modern scientists have shown that an acoustic properties of reverberating sound can affect certain human emotions. In research done by Paolo Di Bortolis and Bisconti of the universities of Trieste and Sinia, has proved that the Oracle's room construction was designed in a way to affect the emotions and psyche of the people who gathered there for spiritual and healing purposes. Devils. In the acoustics of that oracle room, we can find evidence of fractal nonlinear resonance. I'll get it right in a second. Let me show you that. Fact, let's see. My pronunciation's horrible, but you can see what I'm talking about. Fractal, sorry. There you go. Fractal nonlinear resonance. Separation of atomic structures, including but not limited to non-biological elements such as stone, rock, even water. Different atoms, different structures, and different materials. Check this out. It's something that modern science has finally stumbled onto. Recent studies have shown that fractal nonlinear frequencies have the ability to physically alter matter. How did this ancient race of giants know this? Did they use altered sound frequencies to levitate the massive blocks of megalithic stones? Was this how they flew them into place, as some ancient legends have claimed? Aaron, it sounds like the same spirit, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if all this is true, what he's saying about this nonlinear resonance. Moving things by sound. But it sure is something to think about. Now, listen. Let me explain something to you here, okay? I want to show you something here. Let's talk about the fallen angels a little bit here, okay? Turn to Job 38, verse 7. God's asking Job a series of questions after Job has been through a lot of stuff. He says, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?
when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He's asking him, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Angels knew the secrets of the creation, of how they were made. They understood it. They understand more than we do. So these fallen angels would have understood how the creation works, the science of it. They would have understood it. Right? They would have understood it. And by the way, there's also this verse. We know it's talking about angels, but it's also talking about the stars too. There's a synonymous understanding of this. And here's the other thing. I believe when this world is back in harmony, when Jesus melts down the earth with fervent heat and he makes all things new and he rules and reigns forever and we're in paradise with him for all of eternity, I believe that before the flood, I believe that those stars did sing. And I believe they sent down a frequency down to earth of pleasant tones because everything was in harmony with God. Because the world was right with God in that sense until God destroyed it and God changed everything because of man's sin. God punished him. But I believe one day those morning stars are going to sing again and all the sons of God are going to shout for joy. I think there was harmony. And I don't think that's a bad thing because it's God that set the tone. It's God that sets the harmony. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying that just because man's perverted that. I believe that's going to happen again. Right, we just can't hear them. But I believe they're going to sing and I believe we're going to hear those things. I believe that God's creation is going to be that way again one day. Okay. Recent studies have shown that fractal nonlinear frequencies have the ability to physically alter matter. Another mystery regarding the Malta megaliths are the numerous elongated skulls that have been discovered on the island. At the sudden disappearance of these skulls shortly after their discovery in the 1980s, more than 7,000 elongated skulls were found near the Hypogeum complex in a burial that baffled both the local historians and medical professions alike. One of the skulls was even missing the fossa media joint that runs along the top of the skull head. Most of the skulls were displayed in archaeological museums in Malta's capital city in Valletta until they disappeared without a trace in the winter of 1985. None of the elongated skulls from Malta have been seen since. It's only thanks to documenting and preserving the skulls by Dr. Anton Mifsud of his colleague Professor Charles Savona Ventura, who detailed the numerous strange characteristics like elongations, drilled and swollen occiputs, and weirdly developed temporal partitions that have any evidence of their existence in the first place. The elongated skulls in Malta are unlike any known skulls currently found in the human race, although elongated skulls have also been discovered in Iran, Egypt, and Congo, and the Sudan, Iraq, Syria, and also on the other side of the world in places such as Peru, Mexico, and Bolivia. In the 1920s, the National Geographic magazine wrote about it. They said, from an examination of the skeletons of the Polished Stone Age, it appears that the early inhabitants of Malta were a race of long-skulled people of lower medium height, akin to the first people of Egypt who spread westward. Another Malta megalithic masterwork is the Hagar Quim, with massive stones joining together so effortlessly that they could be compared with the seemingly fused blocks of the Valley Temple next to the Sphinx at Giza and the walls of Sacsayhuaman in Peru. They're so tightly put together. How? How? Because these angels and these devils know what they're doing. These fallen angels and these devils, they know what they're doing. That's why. And those giants had knowledge of those things. I believe. That's Hagar Quim. I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's okay. Neolithic temple complex. There is no Mandela effect. Stories of giants around these three islands aren't reserved to just ancient stones and folktales, but are told in the modern times as well. The laborer who discovered the skeleton and Mr. Mifsud himself estimate its length being close to 8 feet tall. He was a prominent pediatrician. The bones were eventually seized by the local authorities, who promptly lost them, which is a good way to ensure no further scientific investigation on the supposed giant bones ever come to light. Another interesting fact about Malta is the extreme antiquity of the sites. Some ancient temples can be found submerged underwater, proving that these lands were subjected to the floods of the past. By the way, this man, who is not a Christian, talks about great floods that took place. He talks about them that took place in the world. About 11,500 years ago, he says a flood took place. Well, I'll give him a flood took place, but it wasn't 11,500 years ago. In 1536, that an ancient megalith structure once existed inside Valencia's Grand Harbor at the foot of Fort St. Angelo, medieval map maker Jean Quintinus wrote that the temple extended over a large part of the harbor, even far out into the sea. And in 1606, McGeiser described the temple as being constructed of rectangular blocks of unbelievable sizes. In addition to the rising water levels, time also swallowed the civilization that erected these mighty megalithic monuments. As the temple complexes became forgotten, only the legends of giants remained. All over the place we find these giants spoken of. Right? Stonehenge is one of those monolithic, megalithic examples. Ancient giants of Ireland and Britain, all over the place. They have stories of giants everywhere. Cooper Harding, the curator of a Thirsk Museum, which houses the artifacts, says you can imagine the terror of the native Celtic farmers. The Thirsk Museum had to lobby the Yorkshire Archaeological Trust endlessly for over 5 years before they were finally given the artifacts back so that they could put them on public display. However, in a strange twist of fate, the bones of the giant Saxon still remain hidden away from the public in private vaults, while the people are left to marvel at the less mysterious copper brooches of the 6th century Saxon jewelry instead. If 7-foot giants are kept hidden, it begs the question, where are all the other ones? You know, we talk about Stonehenge. We can talk about those different things. You talk about the Milwaukee Sentinel reported about 3 10-footers discovered in Ireland in 1914. So over here in Milwaukee, they report about this. An interesting discovery was recently made in Ireland. During the course of some excavating work, two men unearthed three human skeletons. One was entire and measured 18 inches from the crown of the head to the chin. The leg bones are abnormally large, and altogether the skeleton appeared to be that of a person 10 feet high. The teeth were large, and the remains are supposed to date from a prehistoric age. That was the Milwaukee Sentinel in 1914. You used to hear about all this stuff. Now you don't hear about any of these things. The Great Armory Copper Mine, which dates to the Bronze Age, is located near the coastal town of Llandudno in North Wales. More than 1,700 tons of copper known to have been removed from the mine, along with over 25,000 axe heads, including a massive 64-pound sledgehammer found by archaeologists deep in the mine. The 9-foot-long handle would be heavy enough to lift without the axe head attached. To swing it with 64-pound hammer on top would require an impossible amount of strength, and not even a juiced Bruce Banner, which is the Incredible Hulk, by the way, could pull it off. More 10-foot-tall giant skeletons were discovered in Dysart, Ireland, after a group of workers broke through three separate stone graves in 1914. Although one of the skeletons was entirely intact, nothing more was ever reported on the matter. In 1951, the St. Petersburg Times reported on a set of giant skeletons unearthed after the mounds that housed them were destroyed by farmers in Fornox County, Meath area, Ireland. Do I have any Ireland people on here? Do you know what that is? Do you have any Ireland people on here? Anybody from Scotland or Ireland on here? Irish archaeologists have unearthed traces of bygone race of supermen. The findings may provide scientific substantiation for a legend of race of 7-foot giants who inhabited the island of Hibernia, Ireland, in its golden age. Long before the dawn of history, in a prehistoric burial chamber dating back 2000 BC, they found human skeletons which tower head and shoulders over modern man, stretched in slab-topped graves with offerings of food and ornaments beside them. Most are around 7 feet in height, of extraordinary width of shoulder, massive bone construction. In the remote rural areas, old folks still point out where, according to legend, the great Irish warrior was. Right? A legendary race of supermen. Right there. Now, you know they're not Christian, and they don't, and these people have nothing to do with God. They don't serve the God of the Bible. Why? Because they all have burial like ceremonies of food and other things there, which Christian burial, we don't believe in any of that nonsense. God fearing people don't believe in any of that nonsense. Abraham wanted to bury the dead out of his sight. Medieval writer Geoffrey of Monmouth became one of the most famous men in Europe. He wrote a book called The History of the First Kings of Britain, and he talks a lot about giants in that book. You know, there's a history of a giant Gog Magog. Right? Newgrange. Yeah, we talked about Newgrange, didn't we? Talked about that before, didn't we? How about ancient, I got to get out of here, but ancient giants of Gaul and Gargantua of France. Found a lot of giants over there too. 3.5 meters is roughly, listen to this. Let's see. This is a neat story, I'll tell you this. The giants of France were part of that larger Gaul empire that stretched into Germany. And most of Europe. Eventually, those ripped giant warriors that inhabited the coastal areas of the North Atlantic began to die off. In 1894, some of their giant kin were discovered in Mount Pelier, France, after workmen digging a water reservoir discovered large human skulls measuring 32 inches in circumference. Digging further down, they found bones of gigantic proportions, which they sent to the Paris Academy for a more detailed study. A scientist involved in the study believed the bones belonged to a race of men nearly 15 feet high. Unfortunately, these bones have disappeared. Mount Pelier is a few miles south of Castellana Leles. Sorry, guys. I'm not French and Spanish and all that stuff. I don't speak that stuff very well. I don't even speak English. I speak American. Home of the legendary Castellana Giant. This 11-foot-tall giant was known all throughout central France as being fierce, cannibalistic warlord before he died of old age and ill health. But the continual displaying of this giant 11-foot-tall skeleton in the foyer of Castelnau-les-Lez made sure that this once-feared exploits continued to haunt the locals. Okay? They wrote their findings in a book called La Nature. La Nature. I think it unnecessary to note that these bones are undeniably human. Despite their enormous size, the volumes of the bones were more than double the normal pieces to which they correspond. Judging by the usual intervals of the anatomical points, they also involve lengths almost double. 3.5 meters is roughly 11 feet 5 inches tall, a fearful height that lends credence to the old tales of the Castellana giant spun by the locals. No one ever knows. A recent inquiry into the historically important bones has fallen on deaf ears, as neither the University of Mount Pelier nor the current residents have any idea about what happened to them. They're gone. Right? What happened to them? They're gone. Where are all these bones at? Why are they all gone? In the Miami News reported the giant discovered workers made in Paris, the giant discoveries workers made in Paris in 1918. Military prisoners digging at Vandencourt near Paris discovered a tomb thousands of years old of unpolished slabs of stone filled with human bones of gigantic proportions. The skulls were oval and the teeth resembled those of a horse. They were that big. Archaeologists say the tomb dates back to the Copper Age. A more detailed report emerged in 1933, which spoke about more giant bones in Paris. Here it is. Paul Lemoine, the director of the Paris Museum of Natural History. M. Lantier, curator of the Archaeological Museum of Saint-Germain, have visited the tomb and all agreed it is of sufficient interest for excavating work to be continued with renewed effort. 8 7-foot skeletons were brought to light beneath a huge monolith weighing more than 4 tons. A number of the bones were burnt, indicating that the bodies had been burned before burial, and little was found around them, save a few flint arrows and spearheads, which led to the belief that the persons buried were not a very high social caste. See, in France in 1935... road menders near here uncovered the cemetery of some ancient tribe of giants. The skeletons, one was measured 8 feet 7 inches, lay in sacrophagi formed of flat stones.
Sarcophagus.
That's the new word for it. Sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
That's the word they use instead of the other one. Same as Egyptian burials, right? Sarcophagus. Okay, so they found the sarcophagus, right? And the person in there was 8 feet 7 inches. Okay, recently a gentleman in the neighborhood of the ancient city of Reims is making an excavation for some purpose, discovered a human skeleton well preserved 13 feet long. That's from the Oswego Commercial Times, August 8th. 1851. In 1894, the Olwine Register said this: in a prehistoric cemetery recently uncovered at Montpellier, France, while workmen were excavating waterworks reservoir, human skulls were found measuring 28, 31, and 32 inches in circumference. The bones which were found with the skulls were also of gigantic proportions. These relics were sent to the Paris Academy, and a learned savant who lectured on the finds says that they belong to a race of men between 10 and 15 feet high. Why? Because the Bible's true. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Goodness. By the way, the skulls and jawbones, most of the giant skeletons, the large out-of-place bones prompted a meeting of the Prehistoric Society of France, where prominent scientists and historians pored over the French historical records of ancient giants. It was enough to convince them that the mysterious race of giants had indeed once called the lands of modern-day France their home. This was especially so in the summer of 1935, after archaeologists unearthed another cemetery in southeast France that was the home of some ancient tribe of giants. 8 feet 7 inches tall were the average skeletons. Most of the giant skeletons from an unknown race prone to sleeping in stone coffins had been found in the Grenoble area of southern France in 1930. Workers digging a new road around 14 stone coffins. They found 14 stone coffins, more than 12 feet in the ground, as reported by a correspondent, the London Daily Mail. The slate coffins were of prehistoric era, and the skeletons of 14 gigantic men were revealed to have been buried there. The skulls and jawbones were double the size of the individuals investigating them. Most of the bones disintegrated when exposed to air, and the whereabouts of the remaining bones or coffins is not known. In the ancient French city of Reims, we talked about that well-preserved 13-foot skeleton, right? There's a Germanic king that they talked about. I won't tell you his story, but he was a big dude. I'll put it that way. He was a big dude. So maybe we'll stop right there. We hit the two-hour mark here, and maybe we'll pick it up again, do another broadcast on giants sometime in the future. But they're finding these graves. They found them all over the place, right? Well, if they were here, they had to be buried somewhere. And they're buried deep down in the earth. And the reason why they're buried deep down in the earth is because of a worldwide flood, right? That's why. Right? Because of a worldwide flood. And I believe in a worldwide flood, right? Don't you? I believe what God said in His Word. I believe what God said. Amen? I believe the Bible. I believe what God said. And I believe if men don't repent and believe the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. They need to be saved by the grace of God. All right, I'll give you all a chance to say hi before I go here. Let's play something here. How about this one?
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me
is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel him in my heart. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like you go. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
Hope you can say that. Hope you believe it by faith. If you don't always feel it, you believe it. Amen. That's what God says. We believe him. And we trust him by faith. All right. Well, listen, let's see. Shelley Giesbrecht from Peace River, Alberta, Canada. How are you? John Nada asked, does the Bible say anything about... Well, it says knowledge will run to and fro at the end times. Knowledge will be... will run. And yes, I believe that there's going to be evidence of those things. Jacob Terry, good to see you on here. Brandon Swanson, Big Brandon, who is a mini giant. He's a mini giant, Brandon is. And Brother Carl and Angela, glad you were able to make it on there. Teresa, good to see you on here. All right, anybody else want to say hi here before we go, before we take off here? I want to give you a chance. Give you a chance to do that.
Mary had a baby and that good news. Mary had a baby and that good news. Mary had a baby, he is the King of glory. Mary had a baby, and that good news. He will die to save us, and that good news. He will die to save us, and that good news. He will die to save us, honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us, and that good news. Who is the baby? Who is the baby?
babe of Bethlehem. He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby. Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning. Ain't that good news?
Amen. That is some good news. All right. All right. Well, God bless you, Brother Joe. You take care of yourself. Rachel Bicey, we'll see you this weekend, and hope all is well there with you and your little ones. And all right. Well, God bless you all. Take care. And oh, by the way, if you want to find more sermons, you go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can go there and just put this one up. This one is the broadcast we did the other day. I just put that one on. So that one's up there, but our sermons are on there. We got to update a bunch of sermons and get them on there. But we will do that soon, Lord willing. And then let's see, if you want to give to our ministry, you can give to our ministry through PayPal. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You can also email me at either one of those if you need to get a hold of me or if you have questions or something like that. Or if you want to mail something to us, you can do that too. The instructions are right here on our sermon audio page, right here, 1030 Highway South Highway 3. You can mail something there if you'd like to. And, you know, also we do Apple Pay, which I just started doing. I don't use it very much, but somebody sent me money through Apple Pay, and they wanted to consistently send that, so that's... They asked me to set that up and figure it out, and I finally figured out how to do that. So anyway, and then there's some other things that we've used too, but I don't use them that often. So anyway, but you can find those things if you'd like to and just pray for us, okay? I probably won't be doing a broadcast next week. I don't believe I will be. Busy moving and doing all kinds of things, so I'll let you know and keep you posted, but probably won't. It'll probably be at least... another week or so before we get back to it. So I don't know when that'll be exactly, but the Lord will give us wisdom and guidance along the way. And but you pray for us as we pray everything finishes up, closes up well with our houses, and pray that the new one closes fine and that we can get everything moved in. Everybody's safe. Nothing gets damaged or hurt, and nobody does. And the Lord just preserves and takes care of us. All right. Well, God bless you all. Take care. We'll